Hey everybody, this is Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, and welcome to the Barnburner Radio Network, our more than twice daily, even on the weekends. Fired Up Show is available on 114 platforms, also on the OHD Sports app, and download our app, the Barnburner app, available on iOS and Android. Just go to the respective store, search Barnburner, download it today. Welcome to NFL Blitz with Eric Cohen and Brittany Ramsey. We're going to look back at week 5 in the National Football League, but before we begin, Eric Cohen, who does a write-up for barnburner.ca, was perfect this week. Congratulations, Eric. This is the only time you're going to be perfect, right?
My expectation is to be perfect every week, Joe, but in the NFL, you have to know that that's just not possible.
I'm perfect. I'm Mr. Perfect. Buffalo, let's start off with the Buffalo Bills. Myself and Eric love the Buffalo Bills. Brittany, you like the Giants. We'll touch on the Giants the next game, okay?
I'd rather not, Joe. Thank you. Let's just pass over that one. We're good.
Yeah, the Vikings righted the ship against the Giants this week.
Hey, you got to give Cousins and Thielen credit. They had a day.
They chose
to have a day against my Giants. But
all right, so we'll start with the Giants there. since you guys
talked. Let's not, Joe.
No, but here's the question about the Giants, Britt. We'll go to you starting off first. What do you expect from the Giants now that they relieved Eli Manning of the quarterback situation? Do you expect the rookie to come off and be the savior? What do you expect? They were 2-2 going into this game.
They were. I think I've always expected a year of some growing pains for the Giants. I think going in, I myself had a good feeling that Eli was going to start this season and not finish it. Mad respect for Eli Manning. I know most of the league feels that way too, and you kind of got a feel for him, but I think of all people, he understands, that his time is not up, but starting to come up. So I'm not surprised that, you know, that Jones has had his chance and he's looked all right so far. But like I said, it's a growing pain season, I think, for the Giants. Obviously, Saquon Barkley out as well, so that doesn't help. But, we shall see how the rest of the season goes. I've been trying to be optimistic, but at the same time, like I said, just let the growing pains do their thing. And, all that you can ask for is that Jones gets some experience under his belt.
All right, Minnesota beating the Giants 28-10. Eric, you talked about the Vikings righting the ship there. Expected against the Giants, let's face it.
Well, to quote a famous rap song right now, what everybody in Minnesota is hoping is that Kirk Cousins will be a new man on the Minnesota Vikings, because they've not liked what they've seen out of him the first few weeks. And they did right the ship yesterday. As Brittany said, Adam Thielen at 130 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Thielen and Diggs were the two receivers that were really unhappy with the Vikings' pass offense, which came into the game, ranked second last in the league. So, we know that Dalvin Cook is an exceptional running back. We know that offense should be real good with the amount of money they're paying their quarterback and their two receivers. And we know that their defense is the top 10 defense in Minnesota. What's happened to them this year, only scoring 6 points in Chicago, not putting up yards through the year, having two receivers basically air out dirty laundry this week. Things were not going very well. So that was a big, big win for the Vikings.
All right, so quickly, let's get to the other game. The Patriots 33-7 over Washington. They beat Washington so bad that Washington fired their coach this morning. Brittany, you start us off.
Yeah, I think that was just to be expected. I didn't expect much out of the Redskins against the Pats. I mean, I don't really know what to say. I think it was a little bit of a surprise with the firing this morning. Reading via Twitter that it was a 5 a.m. call and some of the Twitterverse not making fun of it, but saying if your boss told you to wake up and have a 5 a.m. call, would you even bother? Or would you just know that you were fired? But I don't know. A little bit of a surprise, but then again, is it? The Redskins kind of having a rough start, so.
Redskins are winless. Redskins have just looked really lifeless since week one, mm-hmm. where they were up 17-0 on Philly and blew that game. And, this week pictures came out of Jay Gruden smoking weed and hanging out with some younger girls. So it looks like Jay knew the writing was on the wall as far as what was going to happen to him. The Redskins were up 7. Pretty much that was it for them. And good on the Patriots, who continue to roll and beat up on these cream puffs on their schedule. So New England's schedule, they've been able to face the Dolphins, the Jets, the Redskins, like – you know, is Robert Kraft cutting a check to the schedule makers? Because, man, it's been pretty easy other than the 1 week in Buffalo, a game they could have lost. So Patriots
should've
made
lost.
Perfect. Jay Gruden's out of a job. And this week, you know, let's get ready for Redskins-Dolphins. What a matchup that's going to be.
What a matchup is right. I think you're right, George. It's like Patriots, you know, haven't had the toughest go to start the season. So, you know, again, not surprised they're undefeated. But then again, I don't know. If they had tougher teams to start the season, would they still be undefeated? It is the Patriots, and they're, you know, they're known to go that way to start their season.
And this week
so.
The Patriots get your Giants. They're 17.
That's what I
want
to say.
Prime time on Thursday.
Yeah.
Right.
Good luck to your Giants, Brittany.
Yeah, all right. Let's see what you got.
All right, so let's get to the Bills. Eric, you'll start us off. Bills, big victory, 14-7 over Tennessee. And the Bills defense, the no-name defense, is this the best defense in the National Football League currently, Eric?
Definitely top five. You know, everyone in Buffalo that I've talked to that covers this team, they are jacked. This defense is lights out. They do everything right. You know, they get pressure on the quarterback. They sack Mariota. Their secondary's been outstanding. They held Tom Brady in check a week ago, putting up his worst outing in 10 years. The Bills' defense is legit, and they did another great job yesterday. Listen, I mean, they forced field goals, and Santos missed three of them and an extra point. They, you know, two times had touchdowns that were called back. You know, Mariota with the illegal forward pass. It was a bend but don't break defense yesterday, but they did the job holding Tennessee to 7 points. And offensively, Duke Johnson, who led the CFL in rushing yards last year with the Edmonton Eskimos, comes off the practice roster, scores the big go-ahead touchdown, and the Bills' defense makes it stick. So good on Buffalo. They are rolling, and the Bills head into their bye week at 4-1.
All right, Brittany?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, Eric, and got to give credit where credit is due for the Bills. Big start, 4-1, so you never know. They could be making some noise this year, and like you said, the defense got it done. I mean, regardless of whether you win 44 or 40-7 or whatever it is, or 14-7, at the end of the day, your defense gets it done, and, you know, the offense really doesn't matter what they score at the end of the day, as long as defense, if you shut another team down to 7, you know, likely you're going to win that game. So,
all right, so Carolina, 34-27 victory over Jacksonville. Eric, you'll start us off.
Well, Christian McCaffrey definitely establishing himself as the best running back in football. What he's doing on the ground through the air, over 800 all-purpose yards, is on pace for over 2,700 all-purpose yards. Pretty incredible. And also, you know, Kyle Allen, who, when Cam Newton was hurt after the Week 2 game against Tampa and the Panthers were 0-2, people were closing the coffin on Carolina. Well, you can open it because Kyle Allen's led them to 3 straight wins, and all of a sudden the Panthers, here they are, 3-2 with a big game against the Bucs coming up. Defensively, they didn't play great. I mean, Gardner Minshew was making plays, and Fournette ran the ball well. So this game came down to the end, and Carolina needed a goal line stand. Jacksonville had 3 chances to tie this game, thanks to 2 Carolina penalties at the end, but the Carolina defense was able to hold Minshew out of the end zone when it mattered the most. And Carolina, 3 straight wins. They're the one team that I guess has a real shot at maybe giving the Saints a run in that division.
All right, Brittany?
Yeah, I mean, Minshew did have a good game, 374 yards, but, and you're right, I think the Jags had a couple chances and they, you know, they blew it for lack of a better term, but Kyle Allen, impressive. You come in, you take over for, you know, the injured Newton, and you got to give, again, credit where credit is due. But then again, 3 straight wins, which could also go, you know, could be thought 3 straight losses or 4 straight losses. It's kind of one of those, I feel like the Panthers with Allen, it's not a certainty. You know, but again, I guess it's a you never know. It's the kind of league that it's a you never know league, and that's what makes it so great. So,
okay, so the next games we're going to go quick fire because there were big scores here. Houston 53, Atlanta 32. Brittany, start us off.
Sorry, Joey, you cut out a little bit. I didn't hear what
Houston.
You...
Houston beating Atlanta 53-32.
So honestly, you're breaking up a little bit, Joey. I apologize. Hold on. Let me just.
Okay, I'll go to Eric. Eric, give
sure.
me your
well,
thoughts.
Yeah, we're ready. The Houston blowout win over Atlanta. Houston basically.
Sorry, Houston, Atlanta. No, I can hear Eric. I couldn't hear Joe. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Okay, no problem. Go ahead. Eric, go ahead.
Houston obviously got right. They didn't play well the week before. Offensively, Deshaun Watson was made a lot of waves on Twitter because a reporter asked him about why he wasn't throwing the deep ball, and Deshaun Watson channeled his inner LeBron James and explained to the reporter exactly what kind of coverage Carolina was throwing at him. So this week against the Falcons, Deshaun got things right as he torched Atlanta. And, of course, Will Fuller at over 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns as well. So offensively, it was, quite the showdown. And you know, Watson, a 5-touchdown game, it's the third time in his career he's done that. And that's exactly what you want because his first 5-touchdown game in his NFL career came against Kansas City, and that's who the Texans have next. So it'll be Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes in prime time on Sunday under the lights because, those two guys, even though Mahomes didn't play well yesterday, a showdown's expected between two very good teams in the AFC.
All right, Brittany,
looking forward to that one, no doubt. Deshaun Watson was fire yesterday, 5 touchdowns, 426 yards. Pretty fantastic game there. I'm liking the Texans so far this season. I really am. 3-2 to start, but I think Watson's going to have a good year. And just a quick little funny side note yesterday, I love how J.J. Watt threw out the Alex Bregman celebration there, and I thought that was kind of cool when the two sports cross paths there. So that was kind of a little
Astros
side note.
The Astros are rolling and the Texans are rolling.
I think sure are, yeah. Yeah, so just Sunday night, looking forward to that one, no doubt. Mahomes versus Watson.
All right, so let's get to the other blowout. And this one will take 3 seconds. Philadelphia Eagles over the Jets, 31-6. Eric, no Brittany here. Eric, go ahead. Give me your expert opinion on 31-6 for 5 seconds. Go ahead right now.
Well, I don't know how long it takes to recover from mono, but the Jets can't get Sam Darnold back anytime soon because they are a train wreck. I mean, how many bad teams are there in the NFL? The Jets, the Redskins, the Dolphins, and the Bengals. Like, could these teams possibly not just crap all over themselves every Sunday? It really is getting embarrassing.
All right. So you talk about the Bengals, 26-23, losers to Arizona. Eric, start us off.
Well, you know, credit to the Bengals, I guess, that they were down big in this game and came back and tied it up late. But Arizona, hey, listen, Kyler Murray gets his first win, come back on the road, leading a game-winning drive, game-winning field goal. And the Bengals continue to be winless. There's not much to like about the Bengals. At least Arizona's trending in the right direction.
Brittany?
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head again there. Not much going on for the Bengals. I think your season's pretty much shot at this point. For the Cards, I mean, trending in the right direction. I think this year for them, again, all you can ask for really is experience for Curry and just see what he can do at this level. I don't think they're a playoff team in any way, shape, or form, but for them, I think it's all about experience for Murray.
Baltimore 26-23, OT victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brittany, you'll start us off.
This is a tough one. Obviously, it's, Steelers are in a tough boat losing Ben Roethlisberger. Rudolph takes over, and that hit was not something you want to see. It was scary for a moment there. I didn't know if he was going to get up. I didn't know if he was going to have a broken neck or what. But, like I say, scary one. And you don't want to see that. I think it might be sort of over for the Steelers now with Roethlisberger and Rudolph both out. Well, you don't know how long Rudolph's going to be out. But now under concussion protocol, I doubt they're going to rush him back in. But the Steelers still had every opportunity to win this game. And I thought it was odd that Tomlin defaulted in overtime, and then the defense did their job, and the Steelers fumble. It was just like how much more could go wrong for them, but also kind of go right at the same time. It was kind of an odd ending, but like I said, they could have gotten it done despite losing Rudolph, and they just didn't. So I think close to being over for the Steelers here this season.
All right, two more 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, Brittany brings a lot of good points in this game. A lot of stuff to digest in this game. Probably the game of the day. So yes, I mean the injury was tough. Obviously, you know, you've already lost Ben. Now you lose Rudolph on a pretty dangerous hit that was not flagged. And then, you know, it looks like Pittsburgh has this game. They have the lead late, and then Lamar Jackson, who had his worst game of the year, threw three picks, gets a really borderline roughing the passing penalty as well on him called in the final minute, which helps the Ravens get into field goal range for Justin Tucker. They tie the game. Pittsburgh wins the toss, and you know, Tomlin feels like, you know what, we don't want the ball because we have a third-string quarterback. If we do not get a first down, we got to kick to them. We're already giving them the ball in Tucker field goal range. So he elects, also knowing that if you give the ball to Baltimore and they kick a field goal, you still get the ball back. So because of the new rules, the only way the Ravens win the game is if they score a touchdown. So he has enough faith in his defense. And as Brittany said, his defense gets the stop. They get the ball back, and then Juju has the ball punched out. And on a very strange play, a Raven almost recovered it, but that Raven player was out of bounds. Had he recovered it, it would have been a legal touching, and Pittsburgh would have kept the ball. Instead, it was a different player who was not out of bounds that recovers the ball. So Baltimore gets the ball. Justin Tucker for the win. The kick looks like it's about 10 yards wide left, and somehow, as it's in the air, floats in between the uprights. It was really a gift win for the Ravens. And me, who had a big play on Baltimore, I was doing everything I could to get that ball to get to the uppers. I thought, there's no way Tucker has that kick, but I guess better to be lucky than good, because that kick did not look like it was going through and found its way through to give the Ravens a win and the division lead.
The whole time it was going, I'm like, oh, my God, he missed this.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was like, you know, the Zerline kick on Thursday, right, where you couldn't see that he's going to miss that winning kick. And I thought the same thing for Tucker, but Tucker caught a break.
Yeah, sure did. I thought, could this ending get any more crazier if he misses it? And then, sure enough, he did. But, yeah, like you said, going back to the Tomlin decision to defer, I sort of understand, but I also don't. Sometimes I just think maybe I'm too much on the side of, why do you defer? Take the ball. But, I mean, he's an NFL coach and I'm not, so
I'm sure he's got more strategy
behind it than I do, but I just think, I know he had the you know, rookie unexperienced quarterback in there, but at the same time, I'm just more on the side of, do you defer? Is that your best call at all times?
95% of the time you take the ball because, you know, obviously in overtime, you know, you score a touchdown, you win the game, but because of those new rules, if you only kick a field goal, you do give the other team the chance that they get the ball back. But that sort of influences. I mean, listen, the AFC Championship game last year, New England won the toss in overtime, and Kansas City never saw the ball because Tom Brady marched the whole field and scored a touchdown. So that's what can happen.
Totally.
But let's just say the Steelers, with their third-string quarterback, don't exactly have Tom Brady under center.
Yeah. For sure, yeah. I mean, he's putting some trust in his defense, and then also, you know, challenging the Ravens' offense on the other end. So I kind of get it.
All right. So last 2 1 o'clock kicks, New Orleans beating Tampa 31-24, and let's face it, with everybody thinking that Drew Brees is gone, he thought New Orleans' season may go down the toilet there. But Teddy Bridgewater, 26 of 34, 314 yards. Four touchdowns, Eric. Four touchdowns, and New Orleans 4-1.
Well, New Orleans lost Brees in week 2, and they were 1-1 after they lost to the Rams. And you know, just like with the Carolina story, they haven't lost since losing the starting quarterback. And the difference is, of course, that once Drew Brees is healthy, he is undeniably the starter. But Teddy Bridgewater, who did not play very well in the wins over Seattle and Dallas, really just was a game manager in those games, played extremely well yesterday. You mentioned four touchdowns. Michael Thomas had his best game of the year. The Saints' offense was rolling. And the Saints' offense has been really good since Brees got hurt. The defense has really stepped it up. That was a game they had to win against Tampa Bay. They lose that game, all of a sudden the Bucs and the Panthers are big threats to them. So that was a game they needed, and Drew Brees on his Instagram is throwing the football, so he should be back possibly against Jacksonville this week.
All right, Brittany.
Yeah, I agree. Fantastic win for the Saints. I mean, is that home? Obviously, they love to play at home there in New Orleans. So, yeah, not much else I can really add other than big win, needed win for them. And, yeah, I think obviously Drew Brees is their number one. That's no question. But I think I think credit where credit is due is always my number one line, and you got to give it to Bridgewater yesterday because that was a big one for him.
All right. In London, Oakland 24, Chicago 21. This game was a seesaw matchup. Chicago Oakland took a big lead. Then Chicago took it back from them, and Oakland coming back, Eric, and winning the game. Oakland 3-2 after 5 weeks. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Nobody thought this team was anything after Antonio Brown left and all the saga that happened, and they were the laughing stock of the offseason, but they've really built something nicely in Oakland. I mean, Jacobs is having a great year. Derek Carr's found a new level. Yesterday they were without a couple receivers and, you know, a bunch of guys made plays. Carr spread the ball around. And you're right. I mean, listen, Oakland's up 17-0. All of a sudden, Chase Daniel brings the Bears back. They're up 21-17. You're thinking, all right, the Bears, they have a top-5 defense. They have the lead. This game's over. But the Raiders put together a 90-yard drive. And, you know, they got aided by a couple of really stupid penalties by the Bears. You know, on a play where they were punting on a fourth down, the Bears, you know, gave them 5 yards, made it a 4th-and-1. Then the Raiders faked a punt from, like, their own 15-yard line to get a first down. It was a crazy call.
Gutsy.
Yeah, real gutsy by Gruden. They drive the whole field. Khalil Mack was a non-factor, and Mack was so upset he didn't talk to the media. This was supposed to be the Khalil Mack revenge game where he shows the Raiders what they're missing, but it was the other way around where the Raiders say, hey, we can win without you. And as you said, Joe, they're 3-2, and that's back-to-back wins for them on the road at Indianapolis, and then in London against the Bears. Those are two playoff teams from last year, and they just beat them both in back-to-back weeks.
So now, before I get to Brittany, Eric, I'll ask both you guys this question. Jay Gruden gone. John Gruden, does he call his brother to be assistant coach for Oakland?
Well, I don't know. The Raiders have something good going right now. I don't know if you bring in Jay Gruden, and who do you let go? I don't know how that would work. I think Gruden's a good coordinator. I think he just checked out of Washington, and rightfully so. It can't be easy to work for Daniel Snyder.
All right, Brittany, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know on that. I mean, I would. It's kind of one of those, I'd be surprised if it happened, but maybe not. I don't know. That's an interesting one, though. I guess kind of like too early to even have thought about that, but good question. I thought this game was a roller coaster. It was, like Eric said, Raiders go up 17-0, and then Bears come back and score 21 in the third quarter. It was like, what is happening? But, I mean, a great entertaining game for, you know, across the pond for the fan base over there. I have to wonder, though, these games in London, I get it. It's cool, but the players must hate it. Let's be honest, right? Like,
yeah.
Eric, you mentioned, like, winning on the road for the Raiders, but at the same time, I mean, it's way on the road for both teams. I mean, right? And I just making the adjustment and stuff like that, I just wonder if the players hate it and how long, how many seasons are they actually going to continue this for? I mean, business-wise, I'm sure the NFL loves it, but at the same time, does it make sense for their players? And I don't know. Like I said, I think the players probably must hate it. But
well, this week at 9:30, Carolina, Tampa, also in England. So we'll see about that. But let's get to the 4 o'clock kicks. Only 2 4 o'clock kickoffs this week. Denver finally coming off the side, beating L.A. 20-13. L.A., you know, a lot of promise every year to start the year, and now they're, you know, 2-3 now. Like, Gabriel, you want to start us off? Denver and the Chargers.
Sorry, yes, Denver, I heard you. Yeah, I don't know. This game was like the Broncos 1-4 and Chargers 2-3 now. Just I'm going to this game and I'm like, what's it even going to be? I was almost just so disinterested in this game in general. I don't know. I think the Chargers, I just don't think they're going to amount to much this season. I've always been a huge Rivers fan. I feel like he's always just so underrated every year. He does his thing. but they just can't get it done, or he just can't ultimately get it done. And this year, I just don't think they're going to amount to much this year. They're just not, it's not overly exciting to me. And like yesterday's game just wasn't, I don't know, wasn't my jam, I guess. But
okay.
2013, the Broncos getting their first win.
Well, the Chargers were just a train wreck on offense yesterday. I mean, the Philip Rivers, a terrible red zone interception. Injuries are piling up for them. Obviously, still without Hunter Henry, still a little bit weak in the receiving core. They get Melvin Gordon back, and they don't really know how to really use Gordon and Eckler together. They had at the end of the first half, they try a gadget play on fourth down and half a yard. They don't get in. This mistake after mistake from the Chargers offense yesterday, and yeah, that's a loss that can't happen. I mean, you know, you can't lose home games to Denver if you want to be a playoff team, especially when KC's in your division. They had a real opportunity yesterday to actually gain a game on the Chiefs, who lost in primetime to the Colts later on. But instead, they're 2-3, and all of a sudden, you know, we mentioned Bills have a couple games on them because, you know, listen, the Chiefs are going to win their division, the Patriots are going to win the division. There's only two playoff spots left for teams don't win their division. So a loss like that to the Chargers is very crippling.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. They better have a good mid-season here, or else it's not going to happen for them this year. So, you know, some of the guys got to step up, and yeah, like you say, that was a loss of opportunity for sure yesterday.
All right, Green Bay 34, Dallas 24. Green Bay leading 24-0. Eric, you want to take this first?
Well, you know, if only Aaron Rodgers could play every game at Jerry's World, the guy might never lose. He has absolutely owned that stadium. He's never lost there. He's won there in the playoffs. He's won there in regular season. Yesterday was the Aaron Jones show with four touchdowns on the ground, but I thought certainly Aaron outplayed Dak Prescott, who, you know, made a lot of mistakes similar to what we saw out of Phillip Rivers. Dak made a bunch of first-half mistakes, and you know, listen, I mean, 4 o'clock games, let's be honest, NFL is a cash cow. Everybody bets on this stuff. So you have two games at four, and the two big favorites, the Cowboys and the Chargers, are both shut out in the first half. 0 points for both favorites in the 4 o'clock games. So Vegas cleans up as both favorites get absolutely crushed, losing outright. And the Cowboys, listen, they mounted a comeback, but again, late in the game, they were missing field goals. Dak was throwing picks offensively, just a little bit out of sync, despite the fact that Prescott and Amari Cooper ended up with huge numbers. And at the end of the day, the Cowboys, listen, they looked great when they were beating the Redskins, Dolphins, early in the year, 3-0, beating bad teams, but back-to-back week against the Saints and the Packers, two playoff teams, and things don't go well for the Cowboys.
Right.
Yeah, like you said, Dak putting up big yards, but three interceptions, and I don't think the Cowboys match up against the top teams. They don't. I think it's another year of, oh, this could be the Cowboys' year, and it's just not. I don't see it. Never have. You know, I don't dislike Prescott. I just don't see it. Once again, I don't think they match up with the big teams. You know, and ultimately, a guy like Rodgers gets it done. Like you say, a guy like Brady's always going to get it done. I just don't think Prescott has it like they do. I love Aaron Rodgers, and I love when he wins in Dallas. It's my favorite.
All he does.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Sunday night affair, and this had to be sort of the upset of the year so far. And according to the owner, Irsay, it's the biggest win in franchise history. The Colts defeating the Kansas City Chiefs. Go ahead, Brady.
How is that the biggest win in franchise history?
I guess that was the year when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl over Red Bull.
Didn't he say that, Irsay says
it. Brady's right. It's an idiotic comment.
And thank God we don't hear Eric here. He's cutting out, Eric. Let Brittany have it. So, Brittany, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, big game for Brissett, only 151 yards. But, again, for the fifth time this conversation, credit where credit is due, Brissett and the Colts to get it done against the Chiefs. You know, I think it's no question that Chiefs are going to win their division. You know, and Mahomes had a couple plays where he just looks fantastic. You know, obviously coming off an MVP season, as long as he stays healthy, you know, knock on wood for him. Hopefully he does. The Chiefs won't have a problem here. But, yeah, kind of an interesting win for the Colts. I don't know if it's their best in franchise history, but if that's what he wants to say, then sure. Right?
I think Jim Mercer was taking too many of his pills because that doesn't make a lot of sense. But that being said, it was a huge win for the Colts, a team that was written off after Andrew Luck got hurt. Listen, when Andrew Luck's last game in the NFL – was at Arrowhead in the playoffs, and the Colts got crushed. So, you know, yesterday they ran the ball extremely well. They kept the Chiefs off. I mean, it was late in the fourth quarter, and they put up a graphic that Chiefs have had the ball for 3 minutes in the second half. So the Colts defense kept Mahomes off the field. Mahomes was never the same in that game after he hurt his ankle running into his own player.
That's the health of him. He better stay healthy. Hopefully that wasn't big.
That's right. And Mahomes, if he's not mobile, that takes away so much of what makes him so dangerous. So, big win for the Colts, and the Chiefs got to regroup because, as I mentioned earlier, they got Deshaun Watson coming to town next week. And the last time Deshaun Watson and the Texans played the Chiefs, Deshaun threw for 5 touchdowns. So, it should be a good game Sunday.
All right. So, Eric, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
On Twitter at Real Eric Cohen, and you know, Brittany and everyone else, don't be fooled by the imposters.
Hey, Brittany, can you believe there's an imposter of Eric Cohen?
Fake Eric Cohen's out there, Brittany. Only follow
the
real one.
I can believe it.
Are there fake Brittany Ramseys?
What's that, Joe?
Are there fake Brittany Ramseys?
Oh, I doubt it, but you never know.
All right, Brittany, tell everybody, first of all, about your show, and tell them how they can get a hold of you social media-wise.
Yeah, get a hold of me at BRAMSports. It's spelled B-E-E, like a bumblebee, R-A-M-S, sports. My show is every Monday on kbuenoradio.tv. It's All I Am is Hockey. So you got me for 55 minutes talking to NHL. It's not just NHL, hockey in general, but predominantly NHL. I have a special guest, co-host, guest callers every week. So it's Mondays 4 o'clock, and then it always airs on Barn Burner Network on 114 platforms, usually the day or two after. So yeah, that is it. All I Am is Hockey.